Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back. We have another awesome interview today lined up for you. I'm so excited for this conversation coming up. I honestly don't even know where to begin. So, okay, my guest today is a lady named Jill Bauer. Okay, she does not have just one title. I need to give you a little tidbit of all that Jill is, what she's done. Okay, so Jill was a senior program host at QVC. But today you would probably know her as a TV personality, a lifestyle blogger. She's the founder of JustJill.com and JustJillShop.com. She's a brand ambassador. If you watch HGTV, she's a brand ambassador for the Property Brothers, Drew and Jonathan Scott. She's a contributor to the Today Show and so much more. This woman has the coolest stories to tell, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear our conversation. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Hi, Whitney. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for taking time to do this. Gosh, I don't even know where to begin, but I feel like you probably have the coolest journey to share of like, I mean, listen to all the things. And there's probably more that I left off of that list, like all these things you've accomplished throughout your career and cool things you've done. Like, what I love to have my interview guests talk about is just, how did you get to where you are today? And what took you on this journey? Like, how did you even get started? Tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, well, I think, to sum up what this journey has been, it's been a lot of pivots. And, I grew up in Southern California and decided that I really wanted to be a sports writer. And so my sole purpose in high school, I know this isn't maybe as common, I find with my kids, they're still wondering what they're going to do with their lives. But somehow at the age of 14, I knew I wanted to write. And so I decided I wanted to go to the best journalism school I could find. And my journalism advisor in high school said, you should check out the University of Missouri. It's the best school around. You'll get great experience. And so there I was in Southern California. I'd never seen the campus, never even really saw a picture of it. I think I read about it in what was popular in the 80s called the Preppy Handbook. And, sounded like it'd be a fun school to go to, had a good journalism school. So I applied, was accepted, and went to the University of Missouri sight unseen from Southern California to pursue my career as a sports writer. That's what I wanted to do. I was an athlete. I loved sports. I had dreams of being a broadcaster on the Olympics. And so the journey began. And as I went through journalism school, I, learned to write. Then I started to learn to tell stories with pictures and videos. So I really honed in on the broadcasting side. And I got to the level in my broadcasting classes where we could actually go and be the reporters or the anchors for the NBC affiliate there in Columbia, Missouri. And I kept asking the sports director, well, can I go cover like basketball? Can I cover football? And was told no all of the time, because this is the 80s and women in sports was not a thing. You didn't see girls on the sidelines. You didn't see girls broadcasting, except for maybe in a beautiful, glamorous sweater for the Olympic coverage, but they weren't in the trenches. And so they would say, well, you could go do, tennis if you want. But I was like, but that's not what I know. Like this, give me the chance. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't happen. I went to the news director and I said, how do I get a lead story around here? And he said, you come to news. And so that was my first real pivot. I turned from what I loved, but realized in order to start getting a career going, I had to make a shift. And so I went into news. I became the weekend anchor there. I did the Today Show cut-ins, a little foreshadowing to my future life. And that sent me on my way to a career in broadcast television.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Very cool. So how long were you there in broadcast?
So I graduated from the University of Missouri, got my first job in small market TV, West Lafayette, Indiana. Again, another slight pivot. They didn't have a lot of openings for reporters, but this news director liked me. He had seen other new hires from Mizzou and their program. And he said, have you ever done any producing? Because I really need a producer on the weekends. And maybe you could do some reporting during the week. I'm like, I'll do it. Like, I'll take any chance. Give me the chance. I got the job, called my last news director and said, okay, he hired me as a producer. What do I do? Because I really had never worked as a producer. So I moved out to West Lafayette, Indiana, and quickly became not only the producer of those newscasts, but the weekend anchor as well. I felt very comfortable in front of the camera. So that was an easy shift for me. And I became a crime beat reporter. So I, you know, and I'm still obsessed with Dateline to this day. But I would, you know, I would cover the court beat. I would cover the trials. I would go on drug busts. I would go on undercover investigations. Like, that was really my thing. And I was there for just about 4 years. When someone I knew had left that station and gone to work for QVC. And he contacted me and he said, Jill, you should send a tape because, I mean, how antiquated is that? A tape. Nobody even knows what a tape is anymore. Yeah, and he said, you should apply for a job here. Like, you could do this. And at first, Whitney, I was so offended. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I am going to be on 60 Minutes uncovering the wrongs of the world one day. Why would I go sell sparkly t-shirts or whatever it was? And then I started to watch QVC and sort of laughed to myself and thought, oh my gosh, I could totally do this job. Yeah. I love to shop. I love to talk about products. I love to storytell. And so I reached out to QVC and said, you know, I work in television, was wondering if you had auditions. They had 500 people come in for the auditions. I had to pay for it myself. Keep in mind, I'm right out of college. I think I had a $1,000 limit on my Visa card. And my flight to go out to audition was going to be $789. So oh my God. I was going to have to max my card and head out. And I was so stressed about it. And I said, was talking to my dad I said, you know, what if I pay this money, Dad? I'm taking time away from a job I have. Like, what if they find out I'm trying to get another job? Like, what if I do all of this and none of it works out? And he was quiet on the other end of the phone. And in his beautiful wisdom said, and honey, what if it does? What if you get it? What if it works out? Like, you have to take some risks. And so there went my credit limit. You know, I charged the card. I went out there, auditioned with 500 people. They narrowed it down to 6. I was one of the 6. They narrowed it down to 2. I was one of the 2. And then I didn't get it. And they felt I was too young. I was 24 at the time. And they just felt like maybe I wouldn't quite resonate with their demographic. Okay. So, you know, I went back to doing news and a few months later I got a phone call from someone at QVC and she said, I remember your audition and I think they should have hired you. And there's a new boss in that division now. And I'd like to show him your tape. Are you still interested? And I said, sure. Like, what do I have to lose at this point? Sure. And within a week, they were flying me back out for an interview. And by the time I got back to Indiana from that interview, there was an offer waiting for me on my answering machine. So it was, I guess it was meant to be. I thought it would be a fun gig for a few years. And it ended up being half of my life. I was there for 25 years.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So what was like your biggest... you know, like your moment in QVC where you were like, I'm made for this, you know, like, was there ever a moment that you got in and you were like, wow, this is what I'm meant to do?
I think it always felt very natural for me. My favorite part, although I love the investigative side of journalism, I really enjoyed that. And I loved doing those in-depth stories. But truth be told, my favorite part of the newscast on the weekends was when we would just ad lib with the sports guy or the weather guy. Like, I just liked talking and having fun and making it real, not scripted. Mm-hmm. And the thing that a lot of people still don't realize is QVC is completely ad libbed. There are no teleprompters. There are no scripts. every presentation is an ad lib storytelling. And that really felt easy and natural to me. I was the girl growing up that always had my report card state that I talked too much in class. So I felt like I really found my calling on one side. And I also always have enjoyed products. I'm a shopper. I like looking at things. I like learning about things. I like understanding what makes this supposedly better or not than something else. So being able to do that for the customer and bring those things to life really was a lot of fun for me.
Interesting. So did you think, like, I'm going to stay here for my entire career?
At the time, I couldn't think of anything better. You know, when I started at QVC, it was only 7 years old. So it was a much smaller company, but certainly growing fast. You know, in the early days, I would get a phone call and my boss would say, listen, we're going to take you off the schedule in a couple of weeks because there's a Waterford Crystal show coming up and we really would love to send you to Waterford Castle in Ireland so you can go and see the crystal being cut so you can tell that story better. So in the early days of QVC, you know, being in my early 20s, you know, mid to late 20s, really, the travel and the exploration was really, really exciting. And it felt home. You know, we, for the group of us that were the sort of earlier hosts there and stayed there for quite some time, you know, we were all having those fun experiences together. So it was a wonderful place to work.
Wow. So, I mean, all good things come to an end. So what made you exit?
Yeah. So, you know, there were certain times during my career where I just felt like I'm sure many people do, you know, is this it? Is this all I want to do? Is there more? I'm learning how to do things here, but could I take it somewhere else and do something else with it? And it was about 2012 where I really thought, I wonder if I could do something with my own brand, taking these things that I do on QVC and a lot of the things that I did on QVC with my presentations and the way I would like to format a show were very groundbreaking for them. I had a show called Your Home with Jill that ran for about 19 years there. And instead of just standing behind a table and presenting products, my vision really was, let's walk her around the home. Let's show her all the places where she can put this lamp or where she can use these flameless candles, or let's make a recipe together. And every item I'm using to make this recipe are products that will sell. And it's not so much about the sell, but it's the experience. I think I was ahead of my time. That's what social media and TikTok and Instagram reels are now, right?
But you're literally taking the word. Yeah. You're right? Taking the words out of my mouth. Like, you are the OG content creator before content creators were a thing.
Like, I saw it. I really did see it, Whitney. I saw something. And so because I saw something and thought I could leverage what I love to do, I bought the domain in 2011 or 12, justjill.com. And I just thought someday I'm doing something with this. Now think back, 2011, 12, blogging was just kind of a thing. Like, it was just people writing like, is anybody out there? Like, you know, like, is anybody even reading this? There weren't these discussions of monetization. There weren't social media platforms that were leveraging things for sales and advertising and all of these things. And it was my husband, like, we were kind of on this roll. We're like, oh my gosh, we're going to do this. Let's talk to a marketing agency. Let's talk to a branding person. Let's do this. Let's build a website. And one day my husband looked at me and he's like, hey, babe, how do we make money from this? And we were both like, oh.
valid question, honey.
Right? Yeah. So, and at just about that time, some things changed for me at QVC. They were willing to do some more creative things with the shows that I did. And I was like, okay, this is a great pivot. Like, I could stay here for a while if this is what it's going to be. And it was for a while. But, you know, QVC got bigger and bigger. It became much more corporate. The environment changed. And it really became a place where it just wasn't the place for me anymore. So in 2019, I left. It was timing for me that allowed me to be with my daughter, who was just heading off to college. My son was getting ready to go to high school. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate. I realized I missed a lot. because I worked all the time. I had different hours and different days every single week of my career for 25 years. Sometimes I worked nights, sometimes I worked mornings, sometimes I worked afternoons. I worked a lot of weekends. I missed a lot. And so it was sort of that moment of, I want to be present and I want to see if we can't make a run at Just Jill. And so that's what we did.
Interesting. You know, I have sometimes that same thought in my head, like people always say like, wow, look at all the success that you've had with your agency and all this. And I used to host a show myself and like all this stuff, but I'm 36 years old. I'm not married and I have no children. And sometimes I ask myself, like, did I trade success in my career for a family? You know, not that I can't still have that. I do believe I will have that one day. But yeah. I think that's something that we all kind of like battle with is like, do you have to trade like massive career success for being a mom, for being a wife and all that kind of stuff? That's something that I think weighs heavily on my brain, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, it for me, it became I'm juggling so much and at times I was dropping the wrong balls. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the ability to, you know, what did leaving QVC give me? It gave me freedom, gave me freedom and control of my time and how I wanted to spend that time. And I was very lucky that I was very engaged with my social media at QVC. I managed a lot of it myself. I was into it. I got it. I understood it. So when I left QVC, I was able to bring a lot of those followers with me, thankfully, because my hope really was to quote Field of Dreams, if I build it, will they come? Yeah. And they did. And they did. And I was just very lucky. I left not knowing what was going to be next. I knew Just Jill was the opportunity. I didn't know what else would be part of it. I hoped there would be brands out there that might want to work with me, that might see that I had value. But even now, like might see that I have value. I did a lot. I do have value, right? So I think that's one area where I've had to learn not to sell myself short. I don't think I saw my career the way my husband always told me I should see my career, you know?
Yeah.
So,
for us sometimes to like it, even what we were, you know, you and I were talking about before the interview is like, we get so involved in what's happening in our lives. And we've been operating one way for so long that like, we can't see from the inside what other people are seeing, you know?
Right.
And so we just keep on keeping on and like life will pass you by if you let it, you know, if you don't like pull your head up sometimes and be like, what do I really, really want? I want more time with my children. I want more ease in my life. Like how do you get that and still have that sense of like fulfillment in your career, you know?
You know, it comes down to balance and, you know, and again, it's pivoting. It's pivoting priorities a little bit at times. It's shifting your mindset. You know, does it have to be like this? It doesn't have to be like this. You know, you can make choices that even out the balance of what you have and what you want and what you want to keep.
Wow. So, okay. You had this bomb following from QVC and now you created justjill.com. And that's been evolving, right? So tell us about justjill.com and kind of like what it is and what you offer there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a total learning because again, I was, you know, at the age of 51, when I left QVC here, all of a sudden I'm going to jump into the world with influencers and bloggers, you know, that are half my age, you know, and doing all these things. And I'm like, how do I log into WordPress to start this blog? You know, like I had to learn so much, but I think I like that. I like learning. I like researching. I like figuring stuff out. So we went with justjill.com, starting with just some basic recipes and some, you know, blogs around things I like. Then I, you know, would do these online classes and I learned about affiliates. Okay, great. Let me get into some affiliate agencies and now I can recommend products and maybe make a little money from it. I'll never forget like the first time I looked at something and it was like, I made $4. Like I was so excited about the $4. But I saw the opportunity. Like I was like, if I can make $4, I bet I can make 10. And if I can make 10, I bet I can make 20. So how do we do that? How do I keep building on what? And listen, I've always been somebody who likes to crawl before I walk. I walk before I jog before I run. So I tried to be very thoughtful and methodical with it. Like I said, I took some classes. I went to a great blogger convention out in Palm Springs right before the pandemic hit with Altitude Summit. That, you know, it was great resources to talk with other people who were doing what I wanted to do. And then, you know, within that time, I had the opportunity to meet a producer from the Today Show. And I didn't know if they would like me. I didn't know if they thought I was their demographic. I went into it honestly thinking I'm too old. Like, I'm 51. Like, why would they use me? They have so many younger, prettier people to use than me. And I met this producer. I'm so grateful to her. And I have been working with sort of a manager at the time who had these connections. And we had lunch with this producer and we talked. And at the end of it, she looked at me and she's like, you know what, Jill? And I'm like, oh gosh, here it comes. They're going to be like, you're really nice, but, and she said, I really like you. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Yeah. And she said, what about refrigerator organization? Do you think you can do a segment on that? And I'm like, could I do a segment on that? And so I picked the products. I put together sort of the format. And at the age of 51 and a half, how many years after I was in journalism school with dreams of being on the Today Show, I became a contributor with home and lifestyle segments for Hoda and Jenna. And during the pandemic, I was on a lot because they needed people to be remote. And with my journalism and TV background, I knew the equipment. I knew how to set it up. I knew how to shoot video for them. I could edit things together and send it in for them. So I did quite a bit. Like that was really where things took off for me there. I did some other show, you know, other local television shows too. That exposure obviously gets you, you know, some nice attention and, I'm still, you know, doing segments with them now. So, it's really been a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I want to talk more about this Today thing. You know, like being a contributor, like, do you come to them? Cause we have a lot of PR people and marketing people in general that listen to the podcast. Right. Do you come to them with ideas of like, hey, I have an idea for a segment on candles? And you pull together the content, you write it up, you video things for them. Like, what is that? Or did they come to you like she did that one time of like, hey, we have can you do something on refrigeration and organizing your refrigerator? Like, how does that really work? Like, how do you decide what you're going to work on and submit to them?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Most of the time they come to me, you know, I'll just get a text from one of the producers. Hey, I'm working on a segment. This was just a few months ago. Hey, I'm working on a segment on, you know, great pet products because Jenna just got a kitten. You know, could you put together something for us? Yeah, sure. And so from there, I will, you know, research different products. I'll send that to the producer for them to approve. They'll pick which ones they like. Then I'll reach out to those companies oftentimes to see if I can get samples from them directly. If I can't get in touch with anybody there, we just order them from a retailer. And then I, you know, research them and then, you know, show up and do the segment. Yes, sometimes I will pitch them as well. When I first started there, and they didn't know me as well and didn't know how I would, you know, handle different things, I was pitching them a little bit more in the beginning. But really, once COVID started, they saw what I could do for them. Then it just becomes a matter of, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? The most exciting segment that I've done to date was about this time last year. They reached out and said, hey, we're doing a partnership with Home Depot and we want to make over a deserving family's home. Could you do that? And let me tell you, it was the biggest bite I've ever taken. I was stressed out beyond relief or beyond belief, but the relief of it was when we finished and the family walked through their home and just kept looking at me with tears in their eyes saying, thank you so much. Thank you for giving me the home I always dreamed of. And so, you know, I think risk is important. It goes back to my dad saying, like, why are you saying no when it could be yes? You know, why not give a chance? Trust yourself, trust what you know how to do, trust who you are, and go for it. So that was a really, really exciting and cool project to work on with them.
That's so funny what you say about the risk piece, because my story is the exact opposite. I wanted to leave my corporate job and my parents were like, don't you dare. Are you insane? Are you insane? Like, this is a great job. It pays you a lot of money. They feed you lunch every day. Like, you prayed for this job. You wanted this job. Like, what are you doing? But like, something internally inside of me was like, I can't sit in this shoebox with no windows for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I think I was 26 years old. And that was 10 years ago, you know? And so now the best things in life that have come to me have been when I took the most terrifying risk ever. You know, even when I went in to quit, the boss like straight told me like, good luck with that. Basically laughed in my face. And then I was like, what have I done? What have I done? But I mean, big risk comes big reward. So.
Well, and facing your fears are important, aren't they? You know, I think that that's, it's really important to be able to look at things that scare you and, and still push through, because I think it helps you understand what you're made of. And as we grow older, I think that's, I'd like to think I was always a fairly confident person in what I could do and knowing who I am. But I can tell you that I can sit here now at the age of 55. My birthday was just last week, so 55 now. And I'm completely comfortable in who I am. I know who I am. I'm not afraid of much. I've lived life and I've experienced ups and downs, disappointments and celebrations, losses and gains. And I'm still standing. I used to joke around and be like, cue Elton John, I'm still standing. So, and I think that's true for all of us. You know, I think we're too hard on ourselves sometimes. And, you know, like, and I do believe in, you know, self-care and self-talk and really being mindful of what it is you're telling yourself. And you're right, Whitney, that still small voice that we all have inside of us. We need to tune into that more often. You know, I can remember when I was dating somebody way back when, my mom said, and you know, we had broken up with this guy and whatever. And my mom said, you know, like, people show you exactly who they are. You just have to make sure you're watching. And I think we all know deep down inside who we are. We just need to pay attention to that and let that come forth.
Yeah, that's so true. And but sometimes it's hard when you think to yourselves, I have a mortgage, I have kids, I have all this, what's going to happen? But like, I'm a firm believer, like, whatever is meant for you is not going to pass you by.
Yeah.
You just have to be brave enough to like, put yourself out there, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Everything good that's come to me has just been when I like put myself out there and just had to see what happened. So,
right.
So, and now you have a connection with the Property Brothers on top of all this. Like, tell me how, I'm just like so interested in your entire journey that, and I'm sure other people are too. I'm like, how did this all happen with Property Brothers?
Yeah, I had worked with Drew and Jonathan at QVC when they brought their products to QVC. I happened to be the host that was assigned to that show. And so, and this was, you know, much earlier in their career. They were just kind of on the pinnacle of becoming, you know, the guys and the brothers. And we just had a great relationship. We worked together really well. You know, I loved their product. It was home decor. That was totally my thing. We just connected and we became friendly with each other. And when I left QVC, you know, they had both said to me, like, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't really know for now. I'm just going to spend some time with my family. And a week later, 7 days after my last day on the air at QVC, I had a phone call from Drew Scott. And he said, so really, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. Like, I don't know yet. And he said, well, I want to figure out a way where we can work together. So this would have been in 2019. And I said, well, that's great, but I don't want to talk about anything much right now. And he said, well, we just hired a new VP and I just want you to talk to her and whatever. And so we had some conversations, but the timing just wasn't really right on either side. But Drew and Jonathan kept checking in with me. Hey, saw you on the Today Show. Oh my gosh, what are you doing now? Oh, your blog looks great. Wait, you're launching what? And they really were like, just like keeping an eye on me. And finally, Drew called again and he said, listen, we want to grow some of the things we're doing at QVC, but we can't be there all the time. And mm-hmm. we took a poll in our office on who might be the best person to represent our brand. And everyone in the room wrote down your name. Very kind. And I was like, okay. And he said, so can we at least engage and see what this might look like? So we started talking about it. And, you know, about 2 years ago, I became their brand ambassador, helping develop and design products for their collection at QVC. And then I go on air with them or on their behalf when they can't travel or do the shows. I go on air and represent their product. So it's fun for me because I'm on the other side of being in front of a product on QVC. I'm no longer the host. I'm just the guest. It gives me just enough to sort of fill that little QVC bucket inside of me that's still there. And then it challenges me a little bit because I get to do things a little bit differently because I'm working on behalf of the guys.
That's so cool. You know what all of this is like? Just like the resonating message of your entire story that just keeps coming to me is like everything that has happened to you has come from a connection or a relationship.
Yes.
Everything. And yes. Not that you're not great at what you do. That's the icing on the cake. Like you're good at what you do. And I think there are people all over the nation that are really good at what they do. They're experts. But if the world doesn't know about it, you can't go anywhere, you know? And so it's like you've built these, you know, the connection with the station led you to QVC. Your connections at QVC led you to be able to do Just Jill. And like your connections with QVC led you to the Property Brothers, like, and to Today's Show. And like, it's just, I feel like human relationships are everything. Not only like the most fulfilling part of our lives, but like, that's what has led you to all these opportunities, right? You have the secret sauce, you have the talent. It's just the connection and the exposure.
So I agree with you 100%. I think that the reason I've been able to have the success that I've had has been the connection. And why has that connection happened? I'm just Jill. And yeah. Frankly, that's why the brand is called what it is. I've never thought of myself as a celebrity. I've never thought that because I work on TV, I'm better than anybody else. I'm just this girl, the Southern California girl who's had, and I was sharing with you earlier, some really fun Forrest Gump moments in my life I'd like to think that connection comes from being kind, listening, being prepared, having integrity, being trustworthy, being mindful, like all of those things are why I was able to connect with the QVC customer. I was never the host that went on air and said that I loved everything. How can you? I presented hundreds of thousands of products. I was never the host who would say, oh, I use this. Oh, I use this. The next day I use that. That was never me. I was more the host that would say, listen, if these things are an issue for you, you should not buy this. And it was that just consistency that I think really resonated with the customer base at QVC. It was that honesty that was appreciative of the guests that I worked with at QVC. And it's why I've been able to build an audience away from QVC with what I'm doing now with Just Jill and Just Jill Shop, because there's a trust factor there. The mm-hmm. connection is trust. Authenticity, like I love that word, but it's so overused right now. It's like everybody thinks like, oh my gosh, like here's the secret to being a good influencer. You have to be authentic. No kidding. Like that's been, it's not just now. That's the truth in years and years and years of public figures. You have to be authentic. You know, you can't, people are not stupid. They see right through it. They know. And that's who I have always tried to be. It's how I was raised. It's why I loved journalism then. I don't love what journalism so much is today. It's too biased for my liking. It's not about the facts. It's not about telling two sides of the story. But my training in journalism was those things. And I really took those points into every product presentation I did on QVC. I never considered myself a salesperson. You could ask me what I did for a living for 25 years, and I never once said I was in sales. Yeah. My job was to tell you about the product, and then you decide if you like it. My job was not to like it. My job was to inform. And that's what drives me. That's what we have, you know, not only on the blog, when we do different articles, it's not only when I go on the Today Show with different products, and I love that I get to be the one that picks them because it, again, it has my sort of behind the scenes stamp of approval. But more importantly, now that we've launched the shop, which is 2 years old, every product that we carry in our online shop goes through me. And if I don't like it, if I wouldn't use it, if I don't believe in the company and the brand, it's not there. So I'm building on that relationship that you were talking about, Whitney. I'm building on that relationship because I know my customers trust me.
Mm-hmm. Trust is everything.
And, it is.
You know, I think I just live my life by, like, I treat other people the way I want to be treated. And what you said about media is like literal music to my ears of like, the media's job is not to tell us their opinion. The media's job is just to give us the facts, show us both sides, and just leave it in our hands of like, okay, America, you decide what you want to believe, or you decide what you think is best for the nation. But, oh, alas, our media has not headed in that direction.
It's funny because I would go back to my alma mater a lot, the University of Missouri, and, you know, there's a lot of great journalism schools throughout the country, but I would have those discussions, you know, with my former news directors and professors there, like, when did this happen? Like, you know, what happened? happened that, you know, everything's about one side or the other? Like, that's not a journalist's job. A journalist's job is to report on the facts and use those facts to tell a story. And you should be able to read the story or hear the story without knowing which side that reporter would fall on. And, you know, it's a shame it's changed so much, and it's skewed people. So that trust factor, even on such a small scale as, you know, our business, it, you know, remains even more important because I think people are looking for where really are there people that I can trust.
Yeah. And, you know, as marketers, we always use the know, like, and trust. You know is the first step. You got to know about the product or the service. You got to like it. And then you have to trust it. Like, that is the most important step to, like, building lifelong, loyal brand ambassadors or, you know, followers, whatever you're trying to do. But I do think that the trust in the media has just literally disappeared, and rightfully so, because they're not presenting us facts anymore. They're presenting us opinions that are fueled by whoever's funding the segment, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been a real dynamic shift through even before I started my career, but now I see it even more so. And even as a PR person, it's hard for me to consume news because I'm just like, who's paying who to say what, you know? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the rest of the nation doesn't always see that they're just being fed opinions, you know?
Right.
So tough.
Yeah, it is. So. It is.
But it's good to know there are still good people in the world, too. So, okay. So I love asking everybody that comes on the show this question.
Yeah.
You know, as entrepreneurs, at some point in every entrepreneur's life or career, they have a moment where they're like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not made for this. Maybe I'm just not made for this. Maybe I should just pack up and quit. Or maybe I should just close up shop. Like, you know, some kind of like turning point where you're like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Or, you know, you try to give up moment. Do you have any specific try to give up moment?
Oh gosh. I mean, I think for me, probably the biggest one was back in 2012 when something inside me said, you have to start making some plans for something else. And that was really the springboard to buy justjill.com as a domain. Again, you know, not knowing what I was going to do with it or what we could do with it or what would be possible. But I was sort of, it wasn't so much that I didn't like what I was doing. The environment of where I was doing it at that point was really wearing me out. And, and it was, you know, listen, it was during a huge growth time at QVC and, you know, the new management was coming in and there was a lot of changes. And, you know, I think I also felt like I was, you know, I was the worker bee, but I was doing great things and it was being overlooked. And, you know, you can only take that for so long, before it wears you out. So I think just sort of like the idea that like, let's just put something else out there just so we have something to work towards was that moment for me. Like I had explained earlier, you know, things sort of then changed and turned around for me there a little bit. There were some other really cool opportunities, that I was allowed to create with and do some things with, and that changed my trajectory for a while. But again, things can still wear you out. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you find yourself on autopilot and you're just tired, I think those things say a lot.
Yeah. I think that the universe, God, whatever people out there that are listening that believe in, for me, it's God. Sometimes I believe we get in these moments of squeeze and like, sometimes I'm like shaking my fist at the heaven. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Why are you squeezing me right now? Like I literally feel hands around my neck. I can't breathe, but the squeeze is leading you to the next step.
Right.
And we don't usually realize it at that moment. You know, the squeeze is leading you to buy a domain. The squeeze is leading you to pivot, you know, to a new thing or whatever. And it leads you to something bigger and better. But in the moment we see the squeeze is like, maybe this is the end.
Right. But yeah. My favorite quote that a girlfriend said to me when I was going through all of these changes, she said, you know, Jill, it's not happening to you. It's happening for you. And gosh, I love that. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
I love that.
Whenever I use it all the time and whenever, you know, something bad is happening or something seemingly off-putting is happening, you're just, I kind of like, I had a friend that lost a job probably about a month ago. And when she told me, I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry. That's awful. Like she lost it for something completely out of her control. And I was like, but you know what this means, right? And she's like, no, what? And I was like, this means something even bigger is about to come.
Right.
Like, actually, you should get really excited because something's about to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like watching a Netflix series. Sometimes I feel that about my life, you know, like when something happens, I'm like, someone should be recording this right now. This is, you know, a prime Netflix series because you can't make it up. So,
right. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So the PR person in me would have to ask you this, especially for the listeners out there. So you're a contributor for Today, and obviously you have a lot of inside knowledge about QVC. If somebody listening is a PR person and they want to get their client, their a product, a service on the Today Show or on QVC, like, do you have any words of advice of like, how do you best tackle that?
Well, I think, you know, from a product perspective, that's probably what I can speak to best for kind of maybe both. You know, there's tons of information over on, you know, on QVC's website about, you know, submitting your product. You know, back in the day when it was smaller, you know, every Wednesday you could come and have lunch with buyers and show the product. Like, they're such a behemoth company now, like you can't really do that anymore. But you know, again, what are they looking for? They're looking for things that are unique, that have a great story to tell. There's a lot of risk involved when you put your product in QVC. A lot of people don't know that those products are really on consignment. So there might be a purchase order that's cut for 5,000 units. But if you go on the air and you only sell 10 of those, you're taking back 4,990 units. And for a lot of companies, they can't just sustain that, right? Like that could put them out of business because where are they going to go with that product from there? So I think it's just understanding the risk that's involved. But again, does this product have a great story? Does the product have a story? Does the founder have a story? Does the company have a story? You know, that storytelling umbrella is very important, and certainly as important to over on the Today Show. You know, I think if you're trying to get your product in, you know, on the Today Show and featured in a segment there, it's looking and seeing who their contributors are, going to their websites, trying to get your product in front of the contributors so they keep it in mind when they're putting a segment together, trying to get it in front of the producers so that it's just on their radar. And then certainly for bigger opportunities, you know, everything is about commerce now. So whether it's the Today Show or GMA or CBS Mornings, you know, they all have these shop segments now. So, and all of that information is now available. And that's nice exposure for those brands too. Again, it's selling their product at a much more reduced retail. But if it's the name of the game is to get your brand out there to more people, and that's a way to do it once a year, then that could be a really nice opportunity for a lot of companies.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just visibility and they get that first purchase and then they get somebody in their database or they get their email address, their text, you know, and then after that they can become a lifelong customer. So I always tell people, I'm like, sometimes, yeah, like in the QVC moment, like you can't put your whole business at risk for a 5,000 purchase order if that's really going to break you. But, you know, maybe for one of these shop segments, you know, like, yeah, offer it at a discounted rate with the vision in mind of like, I'm building lifelong customers, the opportunity for that customer to become a lifelong buyer for my products or my other lines is such huge visibility. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, the commerce piece too online, you know, for the Today Show or really for any of the morning shows, they all have very strong presence online. So maybe it's getting it in front of their more their digital commerce, their e-commerce buyers, or writers, contributors. And that's, you know, that's another avenue. Everybody thinks, oh, I want it on TV, but maybe you start cultivating that relationship, that buzzword we were talking about, with one of their online writers who maybe isn't pinged as often as the TV producers are. And you never know, like that could be a nice opportunity to start building a relationship there. Because once it starts to be mentioned in their sort of shop today or whatever the name of the articles or sections are on the website, then those might get enough exposure that they get bumped to be on air.
Very cool. So, and a lot of things that we're seeing now with pitching products is like, if you don't have an affiliate opportunity, a lot of these digital contributors really won't work with you. The first thing they say is like, what's the affiliate percentage? And if not, you know, it used to be we would pitch for just solely editorial inclusion, like with a hope and a prayer, like, oh my God, please include my product. But now I'm telling a lot of clients, like, we really have to have an affiliate program set up if you want opportunity for editorial inclusion. That's how, you know, these companies are monetizing now. Now that things like print magazines aren't as relevant, I do think people still like some print. But these digital resources, they have to have affiliate opportunity or you don't have a shot to get on that page.
Yeah, right. It's true. It's true. And that's, you know, even when I'm working on a segment for the Today Show or for someone else, you know, that's one of the questions. Is there a way we can monetize this? Right. That is now the name of the game.
Yeah. But I don't blame them. I mean, you're putting these businesses on a platform, like you should get a cut of it, you know?
Right.
So
agreed.
I'm not mad at that. I'm all about sharing the love. Awesome. Well, Jill, this has been so amazing. I feel like we could talk for another hour. I know you have so many cool stories, but I do want to tell people how they can connect with you after the episode. What's the best way to find you? What platforms? All the good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, my main website is justjill.com, the word justjill.com. And then we have an online e-commerce business. We have about 70 vendors, a very curated collection of great products, everything from home decor, jewelry, foods, garden items. We're starting to add some beauty brands. So that's justjillshop.com. And so, and you know, it's easy to get a hold of me at either place.
Awesome. Well, for all my product people out there, all my product PR girls, there's a bunch of them that listen to this. Like, you may want to hit up Jill. Check out the website.
I'd love to see some products. We'd love to take a look. We'd love to discover, like, what are some hidden gems out there that we don't know about? So bring them on.
Awesome. All right, Jill. Well, thank you. Thank you for making time to do this. This has been so great talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Whitney.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.